Bill, I don't know what's going on.
What happened, Wendy? The Baboo 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 song was a little late.
Yeah, it's my fault.
You know what? I'm going to take the hit on this one, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Don't feel bad. You're doing fine.
There we go. Now can you hear everything's good?
Everything sounds great.
We weren't ready. We just weren't ready. There were some issues with switching the studios.
I'm going to take the hit on this,
why?
And I'll tell you why. I was out until 5 a.m. last night. I was at an election night party at Kwame Raoul's house, and we didn't get out of there until 5 o'clock. And I'm still a little tingly.
Don't take offense to this, but there's nothing that you had to do. It's totally my fault.
No.
So thank you very much for trying to foot the blame.
Trying to defuse it.
Yeah, no, I just wasn't
I'll
ready.
I'll fall on the grenade.
And the Lindholm Roofing people were in here, and we were showing off our studio here. And
yep. A lot happened.
I wasn't paying attention.
There's a lot going on. Everything's fine now. The show is back on track.
You know what I didn't do, though? Wednesday.
Oh. Oh. I thought I heard you do that.
No.
Maybe it's just built into my brain that during that part of the song, you're going to say that. I thought I heard it.
No, and I'm worried. I don't want to, like, break tradition because...
It could be a bad omen.
You know, this Russian doll, have you seen this yet?
No, I have not. I've heard great things and horrible things.
I was not into it. I watched the first two episodes, and we talked to Alexander Zalbin from Decider.com, and we'll talk to him again this Friday on the 7:20 part of the show. Mm-hmm. And he said if you could just make it to episode 4, things kind of make more sense, and it seems to be more enjoyable, and I 100% agree. Do you know anything about it? Because I don't want to spoil anything.
I purposely have avoided all mention of it because I don't want to know anything. All I know is that two friends that I trust a lot, one loves it and one hates it.
Well,
one said it's the worst thing that she has ever seen on television. The other guy goes, I wish there was 1,000 episodes because I'd watch it every day.
I go back and forth on, is it Natasha Lyonne?
Yeah.
I go back and forth because she's like, oh, I don't know what I, you don't, you know what I'm saying? Oh, geez, really? Yes. I would swear. Sometimes that's like an old man, like, yeah, I think of fish.
Oh, like
I think
Abe Vigoda?
Of Abe Vigoda in a wig.
So if Abe Vigoda was still alive, your belief is that he might have gotten the role.
No. But that's what she's kind of like. She's kind of, you know, it kind of gets on your nerves, but then I kind of like her.
Raspy Brooklyn-y.
Yes, but yeah. I mean, she is, the show has won me over, but there are mishaps in there. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I change something, I feel like a mishap is going to happen to me. That's all I'm going to say. So I don't like that I didn't say Wednesday when I'm supposed to say Wednesday.
Just to keep things
normal.
So can
we start it again?
You want to start again?
Yeah, just to get, and then we can fade it down.
All right.
But yeah, I don't feel
complete. No, I understand.
Complete.
I have to apologize. That's fine.
You make me a better man, and I don't feel complete right now.
That's interesting.
Just give me a second to do it.
All right.
And then I got weird foodstuffs.
All right. And then I have a TV thing to tell you.
Wednesday.
Look at the sun just came out. There's bluebirds on my shoulder.
Zippity doodah.
Get off my shoulder, you stupid bluebirds.
Don't hit it.
All right. So while we're on the subject of TV, I just have to say this. I didn't know that this Sunday's episode of True Detective was the season finale. And I've been absolutely loving this season.
It's been bragging about it. How great it is.
It's so good. So all of a sudden, I'm going to watch it. Sunday night was the Academy Awards, and then after the Academy Awards, I watched The Walking Dead, and after Walking Dead, I watched John Oliver, and then it was 2 in the morning, so I went, I can't stay up anymore. So I didn't get to see it. And then I discovered it's the last episode, so I didn't want it to end. Like Monday, I parked myself in front of the TV with the intent of watching another episode of True Detective, and then they said, coming up next on HBO... the season finale of True Detective. And I went, no, I don't want it to end. I'm not ready for it. I need to digest that first. So last night I watched it. Keep in mind, as I tell you this, I'm not going to divulge anything.
All right.
All I will say is this. A lot of times you build up in your head as a show is coming to its conclusion, kind of a false hope that it's going to be great. Like Lost was one of my all-time favorite TV shows, and then the last episode was horrible. So you go, oh. So this is going to be the end of the storyline for these particular characters, And I'm like, all day long, I'm going, is it going to be great? Is it going to be horrible? Boy, was it great.
Was it really?
Yes. It was so great. Like, it was the best. It was one of the best wrap-ups to a show like that that I've ever seen. So I don't know who to thank for that. So I will thank everybody that's ever done anything. And if I left somebody out, I apologize. But if you've ever done anything, you know who you are. Thank you for making the last episode of True Detective Season 3 so amazing. Boy, was it good. When it was over, I stopped my DVR and I just sat there and I thought about it and I went, that was good. They really pulled that off. Oh, and you know who's in it? Michael Rooker.
Oh, our buddy.
Michael Rooker's in it. You'll find this hard to believe. He plays a shifty character.
Really?
Yeah. A shifty character who you're kind of drawn toward, but you're also afraid of.
I know that character.
Have you ever heard of
him? I married him. Oh. No.
Wow. Wow.
I'm kidding.
Wow.
There's a whole weird thing with television today. I mean, when we were growing up, the Brady Bunch, it was must-see TV. It truly was, because a lot of people, except Richie Riches like yourself, didn't mm-hmm. have VCRs. Mm-hmm. And then when you did get one, it was still...
Well, that hadn't been invented. The VCR wasn't invented during the Brady Bunch's years. That came later.
Oh, no, I know. But then we didn't even have one. I think we got one in 82.
Oh.
When did you get yours? Like in the
60s? 1964.
You did not. But you had...
Because my dad was an appliance buyer for a chain of furniture stores, we had one at least a year or a year and a half before anybody even heard of them.
Like, and they were remarkable.
Kids would come over and just stare at it,
yep.
And you'd show it, and they just couldn't believe it did what it did.
And I bet when you were showing it off, because I know I did, is you would record something and play it back immediately just to show them. And a lot of times it was just during a commercial.
Right.
But it didn't matter what you recorded
then.
You were just saying, look at this.
Couldn't believe it.
It was pretty cool. But there wasn't a lot on TV. So now, in this day and age, when there's almost too much to watch, I feel like this adds to our anxiety and depression issues.
There's no question.
Here's why. Can I say S Creek on the stream? It's the name of a show.
Say S Creek, and I think people will know what you mean, just to be safe.
S is Creek.
Yeah.
You're the one who told me to watch this.
Yes.
And I saw previews of it, and Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, I love her. She's one of my favorite people ever. And I just didn't make it a habit. You said it again, Wendy, you'd love this.
Mm-hmm.
I trust your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah,
so
great.
I binged it like crazy. There were 5 seasons, and I binged and binged and binged. And my son Michael and I just like it. I almost said it.
Mm-hmm.
S's Creek? Come on, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Hurry home. We got to do S's Creek. Caught up, and now that we're caught up, I am completely depressed.
Yeah. Because there's no more new episodes.
Well, there are new episodes on Pop TV, but you don't get Pop TV. But now I can't wait once a week. So now I might do something, and I just am here to help everybody with their depression and anxiety issues. Mm-hmm. Don't be depressed because your favorite show you're binging is over. Spread it out. Like, maybe watch one a week so it lasts longer.
So we would be going back to the original way the TV was intended, even though...
Maybe twice
the technology
a week.
Is so, yeah.
Because I swear, I'm so... It's like when you're reading a good book and you get to the end, you're gratified and you're pleased with how it ended, but then you're upset that it ended.
Right.
That's how
I
am with my binging.
It depends on what the show's subject matter is. For instance, I was way behind on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and wanted to catch up to my family... So I started watching 2 or 3 a night for a while, and that was great. However, my wife and I also did that with Homeland, where the subject matter is much, much
intense.
Darker. And my wife started having nightmares because...
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that's all rolling through your brain.
Right before you go to bed, you watch 2 or 3 episodes of terrorists. And yeah, so... And you know the story about the night that I bit my wife.
Uh-huh.
I had just watched 2 episodes of The Walking Dead, and then my sleep, I bit my wife's arm.
Sexy.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Nothing more sexy than pretending you're a zombie in your sleep and biting a loved one.
Did she, like, whack you in the head?
She screamed, which is the right answer. If somebody bites you, you should scream.
I would hit.
I don't think she hit me. She's very polite. Like, if you...
She was sleeping, though.
Yeah, but even in her sleep, she's so polite. Excuse me, could you please refrain from biting me while we're sleeping? She said gently. And I stopped, but I'm embarrassed. I'm still embarrassed by it.
I know you are.
Because you shouldn't bite somebody you love. What's wrong with me?
No, but I'll be honest with you. When I watch The Walking Dead, I have to watch The Talking Dead because I can't go to bed right after it. It's too.
You need a wind down.
Yeah.
Post-game show.
The Talking Dead is still, you know, involving zombie-like creatures, but it's funnier and it's lighter and it kind of takes me out of the show a little
but
bit.
But I'm always afraid they're going to divulge something.
They
like
never
I never
do.
Whatever show I watch.
They have
I watch
never
a lot,
done it.
I don't watch. Here's next week on The Blacklist. I don't watch that. I don't want to know what's coming. I want to always be surprised.
All right. Here's what happens on The Walking Dead. I love Chris Hardwick. I think he does a great job. They rehash the episode that just happened, and then they say, and still to come, previews of the next episode. They make it so obvious.
You
so
know it's coming.
Yeah. So if you don't want to watch the and it's a preview. And it's so short, it really gives nothing away.
Yeah. But there's always a character in peril one week, and not just on Walking Dead, but on almost any show. There's a character who the show ends, and you go, oh, that guy's going to get killed. But then when they show the next week, you see that guy again, and you go, well, obviously that guy didn't get killed. He's in next week's episode.
I like the previews of the next week to come, but you could easily miss that. But they have quizzes and stuff to see how much you paid attention.
Oh, that's nice.
Multiple choice things. They go into depth about the character. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's my little wind down.
Yeah.
And then maybe a Seinfeld, too, because I can't go to bed.
After watching the carnage.
And it's getting grosser.
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't think it could get grosser. It's like now when they mutilate a zombie, it's like that doesn't even faze me anymore.
Mm.
It really, I've gotten kind of used to it, but there are, you know, new characters that are gross.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a fair assessment.
But I just feel like that the whole binge watching adds to anxiety and depression. Anxiety where if you're watching with someone, you don't want to watch without them. So you're like, hurry home so we can do it.
Right.
And then when you've caught up, there are no more. It's heartbreaking. So.
Well, there's also the added fun. And this is something that other generations didn't have to worry about. But if you're not in on a show that is like a cultural phenomenon, like I can't tell you over the last couple of years when people go, you watch Game of Thrones, right? And then when you say no,
I haven't seen a minute of it.
People are disappointed in you. They'll tell you something. They'll go, okay, you don't watch the show, but you need to know that. And they'll tell you something. And then you file that away. Like, I already know, even though I've never seen a minute of the show.
Nor have I.
I know what happens to this guy, Jon Snow. Now, I don't know who he is, but when I do start watching it, I know what's going to happen to him, which isn't fair.
You're not going to start watching it.
No, I am. That one.
I'm never going to watch
You're
it.
You're never going to?
I don't like dragons.
Wendy, take that back.
I don't like
Imagine, thrones. Dragons.
Games I like.
Well, that's part of the show.
I don't, that's just not my, it's medieval, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting
it
all
is,
medieval
it
on my
It is very
ass.
Medieval. And there are dragons, and there is Jon Snow.
I'll never watch it. I never saw Mad Men. I haven't seen one episode of Mad
that's
Men.
That's so good.
Now that I can binge watch.
That is so good. Do you have in your head, like, I have a countdown of, there's at least five or six shows that I am going to watch. Like, Game of Thrones is high up on that list.
When are you going to watch it,
I just need to commit to it. I think as soon as...
2019?
Right now, yeah, I think by... we're 2 months in. No, give me one more year on Game of Thrones.
I will never watch it.
You're never going to?
Why would I care if it's 3 years out?
It looks so cool. I know that... And you like bloody wedding scenes, don't you?
No.
No? Hmm. Like, again, I don't know anything about the show, but I know eventually there's going to be a wedding that does not go well.
That tells you all this?
It's just, like, just being around. Like, if you're just walking around around town, somebody will say to somebody, oh, that wedding scene, huh? You know, and you know, oh, okay.
No one in our house has watched Game of Thrones.
No, I'm surprised. I'm very surprised.
Yeah, no one.
When it started, I said to myself, this looks like a very involving show, and I need to be in the mood for it.
Still not in the mood?
I have, no, I am, but now I'm so far back.
How many seasons?
I think we're six or seven seasons
in. This
is
the last season.
This is the end of it, but is this number six or seven, Jay?
This is season eight.
Eight. Yeah, and am I right? There's a guy named Jon Snow.
Yes.
And there's a wedding that is not good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't go well.
No?
That's all I need to know. I'm done.
And there are dragons, and the ladies' tops keep falling off.
Yeah, there's a lot of sex in there.
Well, no wonder you're going to watch it, Bill.
No, it's, but, you know.
Is this dragons. Dinklage?
Peter Dinklage is in this.
I do like him.
He plays Randy, the next door neighbor.
There's no Randy in Medieval Times.
Randy?
No.
Yeah. Not invited to the wedding. See, at the
Thankfully.
Wedding, was Randy's character at the wedding?
I can't reveal this information. You have to watch it.
Oh, I gotta watch it. All right. When does the wedding... Does the wedding take place about midway through the reign of the show? Is it...
No, that's like a season two thing. Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm surprised, because people do themed weddings, and one of the most popular themes right now is Game of Thrones. So if you were planning a wedding and you knew that a key thing in Game of Thrones was this wedding where... It doesn't go well, wouldn't you go, well, we should pick a different theme?
If that's what they like, I still feel like you're surprised there was no theme at my wedding at all.
I'm shocked.
I'm so happy.
I made a personal bet with myself that there would be a theme at your wedding. I can't believe you guys didn't do one. Like rockers through the years, and everybody would have been dressed, you know, Jimmy would have been like Ozzy Osbourne.
No, I thought you thought it would be Star Wars influenced, and it wasn't at all.
Positive there'd be some... There was no Star Wars mentioned at the wedding.
No, and in fact, when Jim's sister got married to Jimmy Katsifaros, when the bridal party was introduced...
Released.
I know.
Release the bridal party.
They all came out with lightsabers. And I think that was a tribute, maybe. She's not into Star Wars at all, but I think it was just... Because Jim stood up in the wedding, and my two boys were in the wedding. Maybe Jim didn't stand up.
They were not dressed like Jedi Knights.
Nobody. I don't know. We were talking earlier with Dane Neal about, you know, updating your kitchen and keeping something that's going to remain true and traditional.
Yes.
Same with your wedding. Don't go.
I agree with you.
I mean, put a little something. Like, maybe we should have had a Millennium... what's the round one?
The Death Star?
The Death Star. We should have had a Death Star cake, maybe. That would have been
That's
cool.
That's a compromise.
But then not...
Or done the vows, like, in Yoda speak.
No.
Take him, I do. Like that. That would have been excellent. Aren't you glad I wasn't a consultant
yes,
in your wedding?
Because you would have steered me in the wrong
There
direction.
Was a girl I used to work with who, when I did stand-up, and she loved The Wizard of Oz, and she and her husband... were planning, and I don't know what happened, they were going to do a Wizard of Oz wedding. And I said to her, I go, this is a recipe for disaster. And she goes, that's what my husband keeps saying. Or at that time, her boyfriend. That's what my boyfriend keeps saying. I go, so he doesn't want to do this.
Well, so that's a problem right there. You got to both be on board or it's not going to...
She was going to dress like Dorothy. He was going to be the Scarecrow. The best man was going to be the Tin Man. I go...
It's a wedding.
Please don't
not
do this.
Price is Right.
No. I begged her. I said, please, your husband, and he loves you so much, so he's not going to tell you this. Don't do this. It's not going to be good. And I don't know how it ended up.
Eric Rung has stepped into the studio. What do you think about theme weddings? We were just talking about that.
I've never been to one, and I don't ever want to go to one.
No.
Yeah, I've really never been to one either.
The theme of your wedding should be that you're in love.
Yeah,
that should
be
the theme of the wedding.
I guess
wedding.
In that case, yes. I have been to those themed weddings.
Those. But don't, you know...
And
yeah, I don't... Especially Wizard of Oz?
No.
I will tell you this. My husband, Jim, has always loved Star Wars, but his collecting didn't start till you turned him on to
it. I ruined him. I did.
Because after seeing your toy collection, Jim went home to his parents and said, Mom, what'd you do with all my action figures?
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy, I didn't throw them out, thankfully.
Right.
So that began everything.
And for people who don't know, Jim's mother is Paula Deen. People know that, right?
No, she's from Mississippi.
Oh.
And has been here a long time and still has her accent. But so maybe he wasn't into Star Wars as much as he is now when we got married.
Oh.
Because I'm kind of surprised he didn't suggest even one thing.
I'm shocked.
I'm happy.
I was sure there'd be some reference, but there was none.
Thank God.
Zero. All right, we'll take a break. Eric will give you the news, and then there's more show. And I have to ask you something that I saw.
I think I know what you're going to ask.
You know what I'm going to ask. You know what I'm going to ask.
I do.
All right, there was a very interesting moment on television with you as kind of a guest starring role.
It always happens on your shift.
Yeah? All right, so we'll discuss that next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Eric Rung. I love watching you on WGN-TV. You're a reporter. They have you going everywhere. And, Bill, it sounds like you saw him doing something
on
television.
Yes, I did. Well, Eric, you, to your credit, you were doing your job, and you're doing it
right.
Well. It's one of those nights that if you do what you do, you're a reporter, you dream about. It's a big night in Chicago, and you're out there on the streets at various locations.
I was at the winning, I was with Lori Lightfoot last night at the winning watch party, which, you know, no matter your politics, it's always fun to cover the winner.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how was it decided who would get which candidate? What did they do in the newsroom to decide which reporter goes to which home base?
Well, it depends on kind of who you've been covering throughout the campaign. I was actually supposed to be with Tom Tunney, but then about 2 weeks ago, they switched and asked me if I would go to Lori Lightfoot, and I said absolutely, because I knew she had a good shot.
So as the night progresses, they do several cutaways to you there at headquarters. And the night, the anticipation is building because her lead keeps getting bigger and bigger. Right. And then it becomes apparent that she is the winner. And then explain to Wendy and everybody listening what's going on behind you as we learn that she is the winner.
Well, as the numbers are coming in, the party gets bigger and louder, to say the least. And we do several live shots from that location throughout the newscast. We started at 4. But our last newscast, we were on till 11, some extended coverage. And the party had really died down at that point. We're talking maybe a dozen people at the party, some of which may have had a couple of Coca-Colas.
Maybe.
At that point.
Maybe.
And there was a gentleman behind me that was very excited that Lori Lightfoot had won the election and was heading to the runoff. And I stood up to give my last report. And I usually generally stand up about 5 minutes, maybe a few minutes, depending on, you know, the situation, to get ready and put my headset on, make sure I can hear the studio, that kind of thing. And this guy, as soon as I stood up, this guy behind me, he started to dance.
Yes.
And I mean dance.
Very suggestive.
Not just kind of, you know, move side to side or anything like that. I mean, I'm talking full on. I'm at the club dancing.
Yes.
And I knew this was going on behind me because all the other reporters and producers, they were all watching him. And I turn around and I see him and I start kind of laughing. Figuring, you know, it'll kind of die down. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to keep it up for 5 minutes. Oh,
except
he
did.
Oh, he kept it up.
Yes, he did. Not only did he keep it up, but the dance got more intense and more suggestive and better as it went on.
Well, I think that's when he noticed that we were actually live at that point, because they had the monitors on WGN. He was having fun.
Yes.
And then he saw himself on TV. That's when I believe the dance got more suggestive.
Yes, yes.
Really? That's when I would have bailed, when you saw yourself on TV.
Oh my God.
He enjoyed it. If he had asked you to dance with him, I know you're doing your job, but would you have taken a few minutes to dance with the man?
It was discussed.
Yeah.
It was discussed prior to going on air. I don't think it would have been appropriate, but...
it was so much fun to watch.
It was fun.
You, by the way, the consummate professional, just went on with your job, which is what you're supposed to do.
I mentioned it. I said, you know, there's a few people here still having a fine time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed this, but if you watch the clip again, and it's posted on social media, WGN Eric for Twitter and on my Facebook page, Eric Rung WGN, but and the WGN page for that matter. But there is this part of the video, you see the guy dancing behind me, but the funny part is there is another gentleman that comes into the frame, and he kind of, I don't even know how to explain it, but he kind of
slow
walks into it and then kind of looks at me and gives me a kind of look. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm watching him. I'm sorry.
It's pretty good. I definitely check it out.
Do we have any idea who this man is?
Why, you want to book him?
I want to give him his own show.
Well, he did bring the energy.
He's a good dancer, you guys.
He's a very good
dancer. He's not bad. I bet you I could find out for you guys.
Wendy, refresh my memory because I haven't seen it since last night. He's wearing a Lori Lightfoot shirt or
something. Yeah, with a baseball cap.
Yes.
He's bearded. We put it on our Facebook page, right, Jasmine?
It's on Twitter.
On our Facebook page now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he's just enjoying himself.
Is he high ranking in the campaign?
He was just a guy at the party.
All right.
And he was having a good time.
You know, and why does this keep happening to you,
though? This is the second time.
What was the other time? Real serious story.
That was the hard part about that one was... It was a serious story. It was about a police-involved shooting.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And we were down at City Hall, and the family of the young man that had been shot had filed a lawsuit. That was the story.
Yeah.
So we were doing my live, we call it a live tag, where I'm kind of wrapping everything up, about ready to throw it back to the anchors in the studio. And you know how you kind of feel a presence of somebody?
Yeah.
And I kind of saw the photographer behind the camera. He was kind of waving his hand back and forth, so I knew something was going on. And I felt this presence by me, and I looked down, and there was a little boy, probably 8 years old, just standing right beside me. And I looked down at him and I just said, excuse me.
I know, it was so
and
weird.
And then I just went on with my report, but it did take me by surprise, that's for sure.
I was watching when that happens. I think, does it happen more or less now? Because I know there was a big, I can't remember what everybody was yelling.
I don't even want to say it because I don't want it to come back. But that happened to me a couple times during Cubs coverage.
Oh, yeah. I could see that happening.
You know, down
drinking
at Clark
involved.
And Addison. Yeah.
At reporter school, what do the professors advise that you do when somebody doesn't want to leave a shot?
It kind of goes back and forth because sometimes you don't know if the mic actually would pick up the swear word or so sometimes I just keep going.
Yeah.
And just kind of hope that it didn't go on air. Other times when I know it went on air, then I would apologize. I'm saying I'm very sorry about that. Obviously we're live.
Yeah.
And then go on.
That's the best way to
handle it.
I am so easily distracted. If I saw something, I would lose my train of thought and have to comment on that. You do such a good job sticking to your role.
You've seen reporters in other markets where things like that happen and they'll punch the person or just do something horribly violent.
Right.
As if to say, not while I'm working, you don't do this to me.
Well, it's amazing. I've seen to watch. Those. And when going back to Cubs coverage, there was a couple times where there was one guy, he tried to grab the microphone from me.
Oh, no.
And I wouldn't say I got physical, but I definitely made myself big.
Because
I didn't want to get hurt. And two, if he grabbed that mic, who knows what he was going to say.
Yeah.
So I was trying to protect that, too. I've never gotten any physical altercations like that, thank God. But I've seen those videos where reporters have turned around and punched
people. Oh, yeah. It gets very violent very fast.
I don't know if that's the right thing to do, reporters.
I don't think so either, but there is something because, as you mentioned, it's easy to get distracted.
Yeah.
And you are so razor-focused on the camera and what you're saying that it's like you're in a zone. You don't hear any of that other stuff. You may know some things are going on or you feel like that presence like I did with that little boy. But you are so focused on what you're saying, what you're doing, that you are really vulnerable.
Yeah.
I mean, you're putting yourself out there, and then that's why you have the protection of the photographer, and a lot of times you'll have a second crew there to kind of watch your back.
Are you old enough to remember John Drummond at Channel 2?
Mm.
They called him Bulldog, and Bulldog. He did a lot of...
I'm barely old enough to remember
him. He was so good at what he did, but he always wore like a trench coat and a hat. He was that era's reporter.
Right.
And when guys would mess with him, like I remember one, I can't remember what the story was, but somebody reached over and started to take his hat.
Yeah.
He that wasn't going to work.
No.
He was not going to allow that to happen.
Jay Levine, he from Channel 2, he had a couple of incidents like that too. Yeah. He was not afraid to tell people off.
Right. It up a little bit.
Yeah. He wasn't afraid to tell anybody off.
I bet they're on YouTube.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Yeah. I know the Jay Levine one.
Yeah, I think I've watched it.
Wow.
Recently.
Well, it was a great job getting through it. It was a fun night to watch. I mean, there was so much going on all over the place.
Surprising, though. I'm serious.
It was very surprising.
I'm happy for the two women that will end up being mayor here.
Yeah, it's going to be historic regardless.
But I'm sad about the lack of voter turnout.
Here's the thing with the voter turnout. That didn't actually surprise me. I thought it was going to be low because there were too many candidates and people weren't paying attention. As many stories as we did on them on the TV side, as much as we talked about it on the radio side, they weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
They said, we're going to wait until we have the two and then we'll decide from there. I always take a look at this as barstool politics.
Mm-hmm.
You go in, you talk to your neighborhood bartender, what are people talking about? And my bartender, he said, no one's talking about this race at all, which is completely different than what it was when Emanuel was running last time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he didn't have that many candidates, but you also had the CPS, now her name escapes me,
Karen Lewis.
Karen Lewis, she was going to run.
Right.
So that was going to be seen as one heck of a matchup between Emanuel and Karen Lewis again because of the battles they had before the teacher strike. That kind of energy was not around this election.
Right.
I mean, it just wasn't out there on the streets. I think you're going to see that change as of today. I think a lot more people are going to start paying attention. I think you're going to see voter turnout be a lot higher. I hope
so.
Who
do you think's going to win between the two ladies?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you're talking about a reformer and an insider here. So and an insider that's trying to portray herself as an outsider.
But that what you just said is going to be the essence of the plan of attack.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. I don't know. I mean, it's a toss-up. It depends, I think, a lot on who will get the supporters of Willie Wilson and Amara. And that's what
Daly.
I think it's in Daly. I mean, Daly, you would think, would probably go Preckwinkle just because of, kind of the inside baseball, as well as she knows downtown.
Yeah.
And that was Bill Daly's deal. I mean, is continuing the efforts of Rahm Emanuel, basically, in his policies.
I can't remember because I watched so much of it last night and it's starting to blur in my head. I think it was Paul Vallis' speech where he kept mentioning Lori Lightfoot over and over and over. It was him, right?
I would think he was the closest to saying that he was going to endorse Lori Lightfoot. Yeah. I haven't seen anything yet today. I know Ryan Burrow in the newsroom is looking into that too. Willie Wilson just put out a statement that said both Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot have already been in touch with him to see if they can get his endorsement, and he's going to meet with both of them.
So behind the scenes, when that kind of jockeying goes on, is there some element of, all right, let's say I give you my support, what do I get out of this? There's a little bit of that, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you saw that in the last time around, too, with Bob Fioretti, when he lost, Rahm Emanuel forgave or paid his debt, his campaign debt. And, I mean, you're not going to come out and say that, obviously, but, I mean, you can see the quid pro quo there. I mean, and then Fioretti had his debt paid, and he gave his support to Mayor Emanuel.
Yeah.
So, I think you're going to probably, it's not going to be with Willie Wilson because he didn't have any debt.
Right. He paid for everything himself.
See, now, all right. So if you're Willie Wilson.
Yes.
Don't you just like, I wasted so much money.
I don't think he looks at it that way.
No,
I really don't. And he did better. He did pretty well. He did better than I thought he was going to do.
That didn't surprise me where he was last night. I mean, and a lot of people forget that he finished third.
Right.
Last time around.
Right.
I mean, he was close. And he has his core support, and they are not going away. And I thought he finished where he was going to last night.
The argument that he's buying votes or bought votes in the past, do you subscribe to that or not?
I don't. I mean,
he hands people cash.
He does hand people cash.
He literally hands people cash. It sounds like, well, how does he go about doing that?
It's
by reaching in his pocket
bill.
And handing them cash.
It's his money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
By $100 bills at a time.
Yeah. I guess the only way you could say that it wasn't just buying votes is because he did it prior to running for office as well.
Yeah.
He didn't get the publicity that he got when he, announced that he's running for mayor and he's handed out $100
bills. But isn't there something written down somewhere that says you can't? It seems like there should be a rule.
You're right.
he gave them money
for property taxes. He didn't say, if I give you this money, you have to vote for me.
And I'll bet you some people did. They just took his money and still didn't vote for him.
I'm sure of it.
So it just seems so bizarre, doesn't it? That's allowed. And if I was running against him and saw him as a threat, I would do everything in my power to say, look through every legal book you can find. There has to be something.
Oh, and I bet you they did. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they did that. I mean, I think there were some challenges, and it went all the way up to Lisa Madigan, and she said he can do it.
Seems all right.
Yeah.
What is the relationship right now between Preckwinkle and Lightfoot? What is there?
Not good.
It's not good?
Not good.
And it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. I did not hear Preckwinkle's speech last night, but from my understanding, she came out swinging. Lori Lightfoot, I listened to hers because I was there, and in its entirety, it was a very passionate speech that went through her history and where she got and how she got to where she was.
She talked about her brother and her dad
and her
both
father,
being incarcerated.
Exactly.
At some point.
And she basically is making, she didn't go after Preckwinkle at all. I guess at that point it wasn't for sure, but it was, I guess. But I mean, it hadn't been called. But yeah, she didn't even mention Preckwinkle.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I mean, she did indirectly by saying, you know, we're running against the machine.
Exactly.
And, you know, they said we couldn't do it and so on and so forth. So indirectly she did.
And she kept referring to what's going to happen as the fight. We have to continue the fight. The fight has to start with this and everything like that. It's interesting. She doesn't use the word campaign. She says fight.
Right. Yeah. And she was, I mean, both of them were out there early this morning.
Yeah, campaigning immediately.
Yeah.
What the hell happened to Daly? I mean, really?
I think the conventional wisdom was it was going to be Daly and somebody else.
Right.
Well, everyone I heard was Daly and Preckwinkle.
Yeah.
What the hell happened there?
That's probably a question that he's probably asked himself once or twice in the last 12 hours.
Right? Oh, I'm sure he asked himself that all night last night.
And especially with mainly older voters voting, you know, millennials, it was down for the first time since the
Way down.
You'd think Daly would have just been that name.
Right.
The name you know.
You said earlier, and I don't remember if it was a text or something, that for younger people to really get involved in the vote, they have to be really angry about
something. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, you know, because I mentioned that this was the lowest turnout of millennials. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was ever, but it was definitely down considerably.
From years past.
Yes.
Yeah.
And somebody said, oh, you know, these people need to have the hate and vitriol to get them out to vote.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was, if you go back to after Obama was first elected and you kind of had the rise of the Tea Party, you know, the message was, get angry, get organized, go vote.
Yeah.
Where is that Tea Party? Not being funny, I'm asking right now. Has it all but gone away?
It's turned into the Freedom Caucus in Congress, and that's where that right wing of the party is right now.
I was with the Mr. Tea Party. Did you ever hear of them?
I don't think you got organized enough.
We all had mohawks and built our arms up really big and strong, but it just didn't last. It was very sad. Very, very sad.
Let's bring that back.
All right. We were supposed to talk about food things, and Eric Rung was saying his curiosity has been piqued about why a pretzel is shaped the way. Can I just do a couple of these?
Do one or two, please. And we'll save the rest. We'll do the rest either on the stream tomorrow or during the other show.
Why are pretzels shaped like that? No matter what brand of pretzel, the twists, same shape. Obviously, if you get a rod or a stick, it's going to be different.
Sure.
Where does that classic curvy pretzel bend come from?
Bavaria.
All right. What's your guess?
I really have no idea. I couldn't even venture a guess. Other than it was easier to cook that way. I don't know.
Well, there are a few theories, none of which can be proven true, unfortunately. But here's what we have. One legend is that an Italian monk used to gift pretzels to children who learned their prayers. The interlocked arms of the pretzel would have mimicked arms folded in prayer.
I don't believe that one.
I believe that one.
You do, yeah?
Another theory claims that the knot shape symbolized a promise. Another legend tells of a medieval baker who was forced by a local noble to craft a loaf through which the sun would shine three times.
That's too complicated.
Not buying that one.
And still others claim that the pretzel got their shape for practical reasons only, that the holes allowed them to be hanged on strings for sale, and the shape maximizes the deliciously soft, salty surface area. The world may never know the exact answer, but that's what they're saying.
Now, you said an Italian baker, but I was under the belief that pretzels were German, originally.
It says an Italian monk.
An Italian monk.
I mean, it probably all
so
goes back
so he didn't bake them. He got them from some Italian. German.
Probably somehow found a bunch. And what were you saying, Eric?
Oh, no, I was going to say, like most foods, it originally was Italian.
Yeah.
And
then everybody else stole it.
Right.
Yeah. What is Cheetos cheese dust made of? Is it really cheese? Yes or no?
Heaven?
I'm going to say no. Spell it cheese, so I think there has to be some cheese involved.
Surprisingly, yes. Cheetos cheese dust is technically cheese. It's just dehydrated and processed cheese.
Yeah, it's so good.
The powder is made by blasting liquid cheese into a chamber of hot air to instantly dry it. When that liquid evaporates, cheese dust is left behind as a residue.
Yeah.
Cheetos also are colored with artificial colors. Cheese isn't neon that when it dries.
That's a very bright orange.
Conversely, Cheese Whiz...
Cheese Whiz, Wendy.
Is not spelled. It's
C-H-E-Z, right?
Yes.
So there's no cheese in Cheese Whiz, but there's real whiz in there. They do put some whiz.
You've just ruined every casserole I've ever made.
If you were going to invent a food, would you use the word whiz in the description of your food?
Well,
what were they thinking?
This is W-H-I-Z, not W-I-Z-Z.
But still, to the naked ear, you're hearing whiz. No whiz in my food, please.
At one point, Cheese Whiz was made with actual cheese. But at some point after the 1950s, Kraft tweaked its recipe, quietly removing the real cheese from the product altogether.
Quietly.
In the middle of the night.
There was a board meeting. You know, right. There was a board meeting. Somebody said, we need to take the
cheese. We must take
this.
The cheese out of
Why
the
Why are we wasting cheese on Cheese Whiz?
The current ingredients list for Cheese Whiz is lengthy and complicated, but put simply, Cheese Whiz is made of whey.
Whey?
Whey?
You two have to be separated. It's a protein byproduct of milk. So
well,
you've got
cheeses.
Whey, oil, sodium-heavy flavorings, and a concoction of other ingredients that help make it bright yellow and shelf-stable.
Mm.
You probably, so you don't have to refrigerate that either.
No.
No. No.
And then that, but
that,
I just,
that alone tells you there can't possibly be any cheese.
Well, what
in
about
there.
Velveeta?
You don't have
need to refrigerate
after
that
after it's
either.
Opened, you do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and
oh.
I think with Cheese Whiz, after it's open, maybe you do.
Oh
no!
But
you don't have to refrigerate Cheetos. I do know that,
right? And I don't want Cheese Whiz to be confused with Easy Cheese, which is that aerosol fun to play with cheese that you put on celery and pretzels.
Oh, you just put it right in your mouth.
You could do that.
Oh, so good!
I told you that they now have. You know how Ready Whip is flavored like whipped cream? Obviously,
it's whipped cream,
but
it's not flavored like it.
But I'm saying for comparison reasons, they now have a Reese's peanut butter cup flavor. That I've still not had because I know that once I have it, that'll be the only food I eat. I won't eat any other food other than this.
Be careful because there. I know you don't like coffee, and my youngest son has started drinking coffee. I put like a Coffee Mate sweet cream creamer in, so it's pretty sweet. It's pretty creamy.
Yeah.
They make a Snickers.
What?
I know. They make a Snickers creamer.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute.
Could I have it without the coffee? Could I just have that?
I had one son who drank it without the coffee, one with. It's not good.
It's like Snickers milk.
It doesn't. It's not. It's like a fake Snickers. You can't liquefy a Snickers.
Is it too sugary? What's wrong with it?
I don't know how to describe it other than it's horrid.
Is it really?
They do make a Nestle's Toll House cookie creamer, too.
Oh, what?
That they've been out of.
In the dark on all this creamer.
That sounds delicious.
You may start drinking coffee.
I would, but I'd find a way around the coffee part of it, because everything about coffee doesn't appeal to me.
You could probably just have a glass of the creamer.
Yeah, I want a glass of that. That sounds excellent.
All right,
with a little bit of the Reese's peanut butter cup whipped cream on it.
Oh, you could stir it with a real Snickers or,
with Whiz on the side, Wendy. I always want the Whiz on the side. Please.
Eric, thank you for hanging out.
That was fun. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. There's a guy dancing behind you, by the way.
Oh, I bring him with me all the time now.
Just for fun.
He's a really good dancer.
He's a great dancer.
He is good.
He's a very good dancer. All right. Well, thanks, Eric.
And the confidence he shows, that's what I love.
Unparalleled.
Yeah.
More after this.
Thanks, Eric.
Still on Wendy WGN. No, that's challenging because I don't think anything does rhyme with advanced digital imaging.
No, but I like to see our little brains start going there.
Curse you, John Williams. Making us think when the show comes to an end.
Well, you can listen to him because he is on 720 AM right now. Or you can go to the stream. I don't know. It's a different. Just go to WGNradio.com. Michael Cohen is still yapping.
Is he still?
Yeah.
His testimony continues.
He's been going at it since, 9 this morning?
Need a break or something. He's going to need a sandwich, Wendy. You can't just throw testimony down all day long without a small sandwich and some onion rings.
What's you and the onion rings? I started my day with onion rings. Now I end it. That's what Bill talks about off the air, everyone. But Michael Cohen on the stream if you want to listen. Or just listen to John. Is John Williams in today? Yes.
Yeah, he'll come by.
Was he in yesterday? I'm puzzled.
No.
Yes.
Yeah?
He wasn't in Monday.
Right.
All right.
I don't
care anymore. Onion rings. Now I want onion rings.
My plan worked.
It did.
My fiendish plot has come to a boil. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Boy, do we appreciate it. Have I mentioned that? We appreciate it. And tomorrow we'll give it another shot. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.